Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Sojourner's World Hub. And we are having our Internet Pod meeting right now. And we want to welcome you. We want to welcome all of those of you who are in the various countries around the world. Particularly, we've had a lot of activity from India lately, and we want to welcome those of you in Hyderabad and Pune and various areas, Jammu, various areas of India there. Want to welcome you from Queensland, Australia, and want to welcome those of you who will be listening to this from other countries. I know that you'll be downloading and listening to this at a later date. Want to welcome those of you from Honolulu, Hawaii. We're excited about what's happening there. Pastor Simpkins is over there doing a great thing and working hard to establish a work there. And as time goes on, you'll be hearing more about that. He's so excited about being back in Hawaii and able to do the work there that he is doing. In our time together today, we're going to be thinking in terms of how do you see. And I think you'll find this an interesting message. Of course, the scripture will be from the New English Version or New International Version. We use that so that English speakers around the world have equal understanding of the words used. And our scripture for this session is found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, starting in verse 11, chapter 13 of Matthew, he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Now the quote from Isaiah that Jesus was using there is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Just for your information, you may be interested to know that. So how do you see? Interesting question. You know, sight is very important to everyone. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you did not possess the sense of sight? Being blind to the world around us would certainly limit in many, we'd be really limited. I mean, think about that. You'd be really limited in many of our daily activities. Most would find the work they do to be severely hampered, if not impossible, without the blessing of sight. Close your eyes and imagine how hampered your life would be without being able to see around you. Think about that. Just close your eyes for a minute and think, what would either be hampered or nearly impossible for you to do if you did not have sight? As a young lad, I was about, 11 years old, and we rented from a man. We lived in an upstairs apartment. We rented from a man who lived downstairs, and Pat was blind. Completely blind. And this is the first time I'd ever been around anybody who had any kind of a disability like that. And so, of course, there was almost daily interaction with him because he'd be out on the porch in the summertime and everything. And he decided that as a young lad, I needed a dog, and he bought me a dog. And he wanted to plant a garden and I'd never planted a garden. So it was a blind man who taught me to plant a garden. Now, I will tell you, he went to great lengths to in order to plant the garden, because he had to have it tilled, so he brought someone in to till it. And then he taught me how to put put little stakes at the end of what were going to be the rows, and then we would tie a string between the little stakes. And that way he could go down the little stakes and make a furrow and plant the seeds. And then he remembered, you know, row one, is he had planted this in row one, this in row two. He would just remember that. So he knew what was planted and where it was planted. And I always thought it was interesting, because this was a man who had no sight. But he found ways to be able to see, in a sense, and to be able to do things that most people would have thought would have been impossible for him to do. Another little side thing that he used to do, my best friend who lived across the street and I would go see him all the time. We'd sit and talk to him. He was just one of those kind of older fellows that was always interesting to talk to for young lads. And sometimes he would spread money all around his area there, his living room or through his kitchen or whatever. You'd see a $5 bill laying here and a 10 and a 20 over there and this sort of thing. And we knew that all it was just testing our honesty. So we'd say, "Hey, Pat, you've dropped some money." And he would always be very appreciative of us, but we would always, we'd tell him about it. But even if he didn't know, imagine what would happen if you dropped some money and you didn't know where you'd dropped it. You'd be on your hands and knees feeling around for a long time until you happened on it then. And then you might not be able to tell whether it was a 1, a 10, or a 20. And he had a way that when he put his money away, he knew what was what and where. A certain way he folded things and corners he would fold down and things of this sort, so he could count out his own money. One of the most exciting things from this man was he taught us how to fry pancakes. Now imagine that, being taught to fry pancakes by a blind man. Because he would, he would have fingertips that were burned because he would have to feel around in the iron skillet and find things and things of this sort. So I'm sure that's one of the reasons he wanted to teach us to fry the pancakes, because then we could see when the bubbles came and when to flip it. And it was a little more challenging for him, and he loved pancakes and we loved to fry them with him. But my point is that with his sight, he was very limited because he was blind. And imagine, if you've still got your eyes closed, what it would be like to be like that all the time. You know, the world has a type of sight. The world's view of sight is very much restricted to the sense of sight. The same kind of sense that Pat had found all these ways around. So it's restricted its sense of sight to physical sight. This is because the world perceives sight as basically physical only. When the world speaks of sight, it talks of physical organs, of the eyes, the optic nerves, the brains, handling of the received information from the eyes. Now hold on, before you take me to task, the world also speaks of insight and foresight. I understand that. But that's not usually what the world thinks about when you say sight. These attributes, from the world's point of view, are still attached to what the eye can see. When Moses, following God's instruction, went before Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to free Israel from slavery, he was repeatedly denied. Why? Because Pharaoh had not seen the consequences of refusing Moses. It took many plagues to convince Pharaoh, because he had not seen enough evidence of the necessity of granting God's command through Moses. The world sees the five senses as the overwhelming validation of a thing or a matter. The world says, seeing is believing. Now, the believer has sight. So let's take a look at the believer's sight. The believer's sight is based on what Jesus Christ is based on Jesus Christ and His Word. His Word is the word of faith, which says, believing is seeing. That's very different than the world saying seeing is believing. Because the believer says, believing is seeing, and understands that. And so the perception of that, as I say, is very different from that of the world. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. So the scripture there is talking about more than just physical sight. The believer, interestingly enough, has the same natural senses as those in the world. The very same natural senses. Plus the gifts of the Spirit recorded in 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. Let's take a look at those. Paul, in that letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination. Now I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. The evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak and message of wisdom. To another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. In other words, people can see knowledge that is given to them in their brain. Now, you understand, when the physical eye sees something, there's no perception of it there until it transmits that to the brain, and instantaneously you see what the eye sees. With the gifts from the Holy Spirit, it's the same way. As soon as that is tapped into, the understanding comes to the mind. To another, wonder-working. Faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. The gifts of interpreting the divine will and purpose. What a wonderful thing. Just think about that, prophetic insight. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of truth, spirits, and false spirits, false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Think about that. Now, there's a whole area of sight that the world may not possess. Yes, the world may put some knowledge together and say, well, I think this is what's going to happen. But when God puts it together, the mind is able to see beyond anything any of the six senses, including the eyes, could even begin to see, perceive, or discern at all. The believers contain the ability within themselves to see with spiritual eyes. How is this possible? You know, you could easily ask that. The answer is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in the believer, lives there, is there. Many people say, well, let's bring the Holy Spirit in. Actually, what you're doing is a little different thing than that, because when believers are together, the Holy Spirit is there because the Holy Spirit inhabits believers. So how do you see? That's the question. That's what we're looking at in this time together. How do you see? The world, as mentioned earlier, sees with the natural eye, while the believer sees with the natural and spiritual eyes. The world often says believers believe because they are weak and in need of a crutch, and that crutch they call faith or belief in God. Well, those same critics use telescopes, microscopes, and binoculars to enhance their natural abilities, not calling them crutches, but enhancements. Isn't that interesting? That when a believer falls back on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and says, oh, I'll rely on those things, that's seen as crutches when it's used as faith. And I think one of the reasons it's seen as crutches is many times believers don't know how to access that, and therefore they don't exhibit it, so people just think that faith is just something, little thing that somehow pulls them through. And that's one of the things that we'll talk about sometime in the future, why believers need to access these gifts and use them. As Paul said, to build these gifts up and their most holy faith. You know, but the enhancements that come to the natural eye, as I said, you know, whether it's telescopes or microscopes or binoculars or whatever, that's a whole different story in the world's eyes. They don't see that as a weakness. Perhaps it's because these enhancements are man-made or natural in origin. So what I'm saying is man-made being a natural thing. Man can make things. If this is the only way you see, you'll be greatly missing the Creator's plan for you. You are, in fact, living handicapped life where sight is concerned, because you're not accessing the full gifts that God has given. If we understand that we are spirit, mind, and body, or spirit, soul, and body, same thing, if we understand that, then we need to develop not just our eyesight in the physical, but we need to develop our spiritual sight in the spiritual, and let the mind bring those together so that it can understand what is there and act upon it. The gift of sight, my friend, both physical and spiritual, is far more capable when enhanced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. View life through all the Spirit provides. That would be my call to people in this message. View life through all the Spirit provides, not just the physical, because the Spirit of God, the Creator, has provided so much more. The gift of sight, as I said, both physical and spiritual, is far more capable when enhanced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's my message for this session. And I hope that this brings you to some thinking on how do I see? And what do I see? Have I limited myself? Now, if you're not a believer, and you would like to be able to access these gifts are already there for you. It's just a matter of your unwrapping the gift of salvation. And with that gift comes all these other gifts. If you will simply go to the Father and tell the Father that you want Jesus to come into your heart and into your life to be there with you, then Jesus will do that, and He will send the Holy Spirit to dwell in you as well, to open up your understanding of many of these things. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in someone is a marvelous, marvelous thing. If you are a believer and you've maybe just sort of ignored these things for a while, go to the Father in the same way and remind Him that maybe you just didn't stick as close as you should have, you needed to, or whatever, and tell Him, I will now. And ask for these gifts to be manifest in your life, to come about, to show up, so that you can use them to the glory of God, because that's the purpose of them. It lets us use them to the glory of God. So pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to the throne now, and I want all of these gifts. I want the gift of salvation through Christ to be so real in my life. And I want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit that Christ sent. This is what I want, because I want to serve You. I want to be in Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, you're either new in the kingdom or you're restored back to where you had wanted to be originally. Never let your first love for the Lord grow cold, but always keep the fire of God having drawn you in your life. If you need some help with this, you can simply contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. I'll be happy to correspond with you by email. If you're on Skype, you can contact me, The Sojourner, 3734. That'll get me, and you'll be able to talk with me. And we'll be happy to work with you and help you grow in these areas. Well, I see that our time is drawing to a close here. So let me say this with this blessing, and this will conclude the time together. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.